Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and today we are joined by Beth Sandlin. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so thrilled to be here today.
Lovely, lovely. So Beth, before we start our conversation, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Beth is NCPT, founder of Trifecta Pilates, who brings her passion for the Pilates and trauma-informed practices to our discussion on mindful movement. So from overcoming personal challenges to empowering others through the movement, her story is both inspiring and transformative. So why to wait? Let's join us as we explore the profound impact of mindful movement on overall well-being, on healthy mind and healthy life. So welcome to the show again, Beth.
Thanks so much.
Lovely, lovely. So Beth, to start with, if you can share with us your personal journey with the mindful movement and how it has impacted your life.
For sure. When I first began working out, it was all for physical reasons. And that was, I was walking up a flight of stairs at the age of 19 and realized I was getting winded just walking up that flight of stairs. And I recognized, well, since I wanted to try hiking, I probably had to get in better physical conditioning shape. So I wouldn't be winded just by, you know, the first 2 minutes of the hike. And that was really my reason why to start working out, because as a young child, middle school and high school, I didn't resonate with enjoying working out at all. I know a lot of people who teach movement, they've always really enjoyed working out, exercise, and that really wasn't my path. And I had to find what really worked well for me. And then when I was 20, I was diagnosed with cancer, and it was my kind of life's path changed because of that. And it also reinstilled the why moving is so powerful. And for so many years, I continued working out for the physical benefits of movement, to have enough strength and stamina to hold my nephew, and in the future when I had children, to hold my children, to be able to go on hikes, to have enough energy and vitality for my day so I felt good after the end of the day rather than exhausted. But even with that, I kept just focusing on the physical element of workouts. And I noticed that my motivation sometimes would be really high to exercise and other times it'd be really low. And it wasn't until I learned more about trauma, the stress response cycle, the overall nervous system, that I started to take that into consideration when I was moving with Pilates and other workouts. And I was able to adjust the dial of intensity of the exercises and classes I was taking, not only for physical considerations, because that's important as well, but also for where my nervous system was at, for overall mental health and well-being as well. And that really was the key for me and for so many people who I work with, to unlock sustainable motivation, because we're able to listen to the signals our body is sending us, adjust the dial of intensity so it's just the right amount of work and not too much and not too little at the same time.
Yeah, understood. Understood. That's really great. Thanks for sharing this. What do you think? How does mindful movement, such as Pilates, differ from the conventional exercise routines in terms of its effect on the body and the mind? So what do you think?
I think that generally what we are told in fitness many times is just follow along exactly as your personal trainer says or the group fitness teacher is showing, and that's what you need to do. That's how I got started with fitness, and sometimes it works and a lot of time it doesn't. In fact, I've worked with a lot of people who have gotten injured because they followed that advice and just kept pushing through rather than tuning into the signals of, you know, actually that's not working for me. It's challenging, but not challenging in the right way. And so once we understand what is the purpose of the exercise, is this challenging in just the right way? Do we need to have an adjustment? When we tune in and listen to that, we're able to have a movement program and move with exercises that are not only more beneficial for our physical body, so we reduce the risk of injury, but we also can then move in alignment with our motivation. And sometimes we will be in an energetic state where we want to do something very vigorous and challenging, and that makes sense. And other times we'll be in an energetic state, and this could be because of what we've been eating for the week, sleep, our stress that we've been experiencing. A lot of different factors can contribute to this, where it would be more beneficial to do something that's a little bit more calming, maybe even a shorter workout. So it doesn't always have to be really long in length. So mindful movement incorporates a lot of different elements from what we physically need, our physical considerations and conditioning, and also what would be most beneficial for our nervous system.
Yeah, exactly. So what, according to you, are some of the common misconceptions that people have about mindful movement?
I think the biggest one is, if I just listen to my body and if I just do like workouts that feel good, I'm always going to choose the easy stuff. It's not going to be beneficial for me. And if you're familiar with intuitive eating, it's similar to that, that sometimes we do need a more extended period just to really reset and move our bodies in a much different way than we traditionally have. Yeah. But we will eventually come back to more of a, for lack of a better word, well-rounded workout program, where sometimes it will be a more challenging workout. Other times it's going to be something more restorative for our body. And that's not only beneficial for physical conditioning, it's also really beneficial for mental well-being as well. And so sometimes we'll work out for more of a physical experience. Other times we'll work out because we know we just need a pause for a day, a reset. And anytime we come to the Pilates mat or workout, there could be a lot of different considerations of what's going to be the best and most valuable workout. One other element, if I had to add another common misconception, it's that short workouts don't matter. And sometimes we tend to prioritize the longer workouts so much so that it makes it not sustainable for us to continue working out. So for a lot of people, the hour-long workouts that I got started with weren't motivating. They weren't at a point in my life when I was working full time and had young kids. I just couldn't consistently show up for that hour long workout. And that's when I realized I needed to do something much different. And it was more important to consistently come to the Pilates mat in my workout routine than the length of time or even how hard the workout was. So I decided to turn back the dial of how often I was going to, or the length of time I was going to work out. So shifted to starting with a 5-minute Pilates workout and a 5-minute walk. And I wanted to do that consistently. Could I show up for myself consistently at least 5 days a week doing that? And once I kind of checked that box off, then I could look at, well, can I carve out another 5 minutes? So I would say starting slow, starting more simple maybe and easier than we consider workouts to be, and tuning into this actually should feel good for my body. Even challenging workouts should feel good, even if the heart rate shifts and maybe we're working towards that extreme exhaustion, it should still feel beneficial. And if it's not, then we know we want to just make an adjustment in some way.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, If you could also explain the concept of moving in alignment with the nervous system and its significance in mindful movement practices.
Beautiful question, because that piece, we know we have, you know, a body, we feel energetic states that shift sometimes throughout the day. We may have naturally lower energy, and other times we have naturally higher energy. This is often categorized as, like, I'm an early bird or a night owl. I am a night owl, so if I try to wake up first thing in the morning and work out, it is more energetic state isn't quite as revved up as it is a little bit later in the day. There's other people where that flip-flop. Then what we want to do is layer on our stress response cycle. And our stress response cycle responds to being busy, major and minor stressors, trauma that we have experienced in the past and is still residing in us and is impacting us. And this is all in consideration. So some people may be more primed to a higher energetic state. That's a sympathetic response, sometimes known as fight or flight. However, when we work out with vigorous workouts, it actually engages our sympathetic response. So if someone's sympathetic response maybe is over-engaging because of a lot of stress and busyness that's going on in their life, they're just going from one thing to another. That's sometimes one of the reasons why they don't feel like doing a vigorous workout, because their nervous system is already tapped out at the like highest capacity it could be. And so if we adjust and do something that's going to be more down regulating, which I'll speak about in a moment, it may be a better access point into moving our body. And down regulating workouts, which are generally going to be slower, they're not going to be as intense, have beautiful elements for physical conditioning as well. We get to work more on stretch. We get to work more on deep breathing, which we know deep breathing is not only beneficial for mental well-being, but core support and pelvic floor function. And that really benefits our bodies, both when we work out with more challenging classes, maybe in the future, and just for everyday functions. Okay. And we also get to work on mobility, which, side note here, Pilates is wonderful for not only strengthening, but total body mobility work, which we know that not only strength training we want as we're getting older, but we want to work through full range of motion, because that helps our body feel really good. So downregulating is a parasympathetic response. This is commonly known as rest and digest. I did want to go a little bit deeper here, because sometimes people just leave it as the fight or flight and rest and digest. And what we want to focus on are downregulating workouts to rest and digest. But it doesn't quite, that either or doesn't quite encapsulate the somewhat more complex nervous system. And that is, sometimes when people experience stress or trauma, again, it depends upon what the event or episode is, and also kind of what they have been primed for in the past, they may not have that energizing sympathetic fight or flight. It may actually be more of a freeze response, a disassociation. Common term that we use is like, I'm daydreaming. So that's more of a normal response, maybe, where, you know, we're zoning out. So disassociation, a freeze response, is a detachment from what's currently going on. And in that case, the energy drops much lower compared to the sympathetic response. So if we only have, in response to stress, you know, do down regulating workouts, for some people, that's not going to be beneficial. No. So I encourage people to know this. How are they responding to life stressors, to trauma when they're feeling overwhelmed? Do they want to like push and power through and keep going and their energy is really high? Or are they kind of detaching? Are they, for me, one of my coping mechanisms is I will read and read and read and read, just kind of zoning everything else out. And we think reading is really positive, but sometimes if I do it too much, it's really not helping me with things that could be actions that could be more helpful. So once someone has that understanding, what we can do then is, well, what workout would complement the energetic state that you're in? Do you want to work with something and shift your energy and maybe do something a little bit more energizing, like a faster paced class, a vigorous walk outside, or would it be something more restorative, focusing on gentle movements and deep breathing?
Got it. Understood. Are there any considerations or adaptations that individuals with the physical limitations or the disabilities should keep in mind when practicing mindful movement?
No matter what someone's physical ability is, mindful movement really is for everyone. And what we want to do is, where are we right now with what is going to be beneficial for us? And when we consider the options and variations with movement, both in, you know, the intensity of the exercise, very low intensity to something much more vigorous, to maybe the full expression of an exercise to something that is going to be adjusted, where we turn down the dial of intensity. What I always like to consider is this going to be a forever option for us, or is this one of our stepping stones, and then we're going to adjust our intensity in some way in the future? And this is one of the beautiful elements, especially for Pilates, is there's a lot of range with what we can do with workouts. Is we can have a workout that's incredibly challenging, or we're going to really focus on personalizing it to what someone needs. And so, as an example, over the years, I've worked with people who have just come out of surgery, from knee replacement surgery, or are coming back into working out after pregnancy, or perhaps they, I worked with someone once who didn't have a limb from the elbow down. And so there's different considerations depending upon where someone is in their body. And what we work to do is, what's going to be the best option for you right now? And you can do this a few ways. If you work with someone one-on-one, of course, a Pilates teacher can tailor the session for you. If you work online, say, or you take a group fitness class, what I always encourage you is that you know kind of what would be beneficial for your body, even if you don't know all of the Pilates exercises. So if something's not feeling right, and maybe in a group class, a teacher isn't giving an option for you, I would say there's an alternative option when I'm teaching my classes, which is you can follow exactly as I'm teaching. You can do some of the variations I'm suggesting. You can do a different exercise or stretch. Or if your body is telling you you need to take a break and just simply focus on breathing, do that. And the longer someone continues to move with Pilates or other types of mindful movement, they're going to start figuring out their go-to options of what's going to be most beneficial for them. It's kind of like moving to a new area, like a new town. For instance, a few years ago, we moved into this house. It's about 30 minutes away from where our old house is. So I had to figure out the grocery store that we're going to now and the fastest way to my kids' school, all these different elements. And now, after I've been here for some time, I know kind of the back roads and those workarounds when there's traffic and I hit a congestion on the road. And we can do the same thing with workouts, that as we get more familiar with them, we're going to know our go-to substitutions and the workarounds that are beneficial not only for our body, but perhaps where our nervous system is as well.
Understood. That's really, really great, I would say. So before we wrap up, how do you see the future of mindful movement evolving, and what potential impact could it have on the society's overall well-being?
For so many people who I work with, once they understand that different types of workouts are beneficial, not only for physical body, but for mental well-being, it actually motivates them to move their body more and in diverse ways, rather than thinking workouts only need to be challenging. I need to keep pushing through. Because I've worked with a lot of people over the years who kept running and running and running, and their doctor said, you can't run anymore, your knees, and they kept pushing through. And then they come to Pilates because they're in a point that their knees now are just aching and they need to do something much different. So instead, when we really listen to our body and make adjustments, it makes for a workout program that's going to be more sustainable. It's going to be more beneficial, because in the example I just gave, even though running can be really great for us, we're only doing that one element in physical conditioning. And there comes a point when it's not going to be beneficial, or maybe it's we're only running and we're not working on mobility to really ensure that our body is prepared to run. We're not working on additional strengthening exercises. That's not going to be well-rounded enough. And so for people who work with me, it's a few different elements that they're starting to feel better in their body. They're working with different types of classes, and they're noticing that they're more motivated to work out, and the pressure comes off of workouts. Because the truth is, when we think about working out, it is not just for a month. It is not even just for a year. In order to get benefits from moving our bodies, we need to continue working out. And if we don't enjoy what we're doing, and if we injure ourselves, then it's going to be hard to continue working out. And so I really encourage people, when you move with the concept of mindful movement, it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be those vigorous classes, but it allows us to have more adaptability with what we're doing. And it also takes the pressure off. Because I think, okay, it's not just about this month, and maybe we had a wonky month because there's end of school year activities and work's really busy. Well, I know I have 11 more months I can work on this, and I can keep coming back to my practice in the future.
Lovely. Really great. So thank you so much for joining. And dear listeners, like in this episode of Healthy Mind and Healthy Life, where we discuss about moving with the mindfulness, we explored how mindful movement impacts the body and the mind with Pilates expert Beth Sandlin. So she has shared the practical tips and the exercises for integrating the mindful movement into our daily life. So which emphasizing its benefits for the mental well-being and the emotional resilience. So thank you so much for joining, everyone. And I believe you can definitely resonate with Beth's insights. But before we move, I'll definitely love to ask Beth, like, if someone wants to connect with you for the mindful movement or to understand things, how they can connect with you.
The number one way to connect with me is at trifectapilates.com. Uh-huh. And you can find what we do there. It's all online. I'm a big advocate of working out from the home because it just makes sense. And it's where I've been working out personally for so long now. And you can also find me on YouTube at Trifecta Pilates.
Lovely, lovely. That's great. So that's, you have it, dear listeners. I'll also mention all these things into the show notes so that it will be much easier for all of you to reach out to her. And yeah, keep stay healthy and be safe. Thank you so much.